Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back, everybody.
It's Taco Tuesday!
I'm Alex Padilla.
I'm Alex Regla.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Taco Tuesday. I'm Alex Padilla at AlexPadilla86. He's Alex Regla at Alex M. Regla. Alex, well, I don't really know how to describe tonight's game at all, really. But the Lakers lose 114-104. Do you have any idea how to recap this game? We're about to try, but your first thought on it?
It was weird. The third quarter specifically was one of the weirder quarters I can remember in terms of referees and stuff. But just overall, like, we'll get into it, but just what a weird game tonight was.
Very weird game. So let's just start from the top. Obviously, no Anthony Davis. No Marc Gasol, going through health and safety protocols of the NBA. So who knows what's going on with him. And then a very late scratch was Kyle Kuzma. He did not play tonight. And then Alex Caruso, I believe, was in the end of the third or in the fourth, got fouled. And he started suffering neck spasms, so he was out. And then when you look at the box score, you had two guys play today, where they did nothing offensively, although Jared Dudley did bring a little energy, but Wesley Matthews, again, scoreless. KCP, another bad game. Trez, a bad game. So the Lakers, extremely shorthanded tonight. That's my point.
Yeah, I didn't think they played, like, they were shorthanded, and a lot of guys didn't play well, and the rotation, like, I don't know if you want to get into it. Like, what'd you think about the lineups Vogel used today and when he used them, maybe more specifically?
Like, is there one specifically you're talking about or just in general?
Well, like,
did
tough,
one stand
right?
out to you? Right, yeah.
It's tough because they, like you said, they're without Anthony Davis. They're without Marc Gasol. They're without Kyle Kuzma. So those are your three kind of main front court pieces. He said before the game he was going to go to Dudley. He mentioned Dudley specifically, and we saw that actually happen today because Phoenix goes small with their reserves. But, like, Dario Saric, like, he's not physical, but he's not small, I would say. I don't know. It was just weird timing, I think, with the front court guys he did play and when. Like, who was it? Montrez only played 18 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to play a lot more, honestly. Damian Jones, I thought, had a nice little spark in the second quarter. He ended up only playing 7 minutes. Dudley played 11 minutes, and he also started the fourth in that lineup that kind of gave the game away a bit. So, I don't know. It's tough to kind of nitpick when you don't have your main guys who would actually be in there, but I thought some of the rotations were a little out of whack, I thought.
I think there was guys playing that, like, why? I understand you're shorthanded, but for KCP to have 31 minutes tonight, that's also, like, why? Like, he's not playing well right now. He has not played well the last four or five games. He just kind of was not doing anything for me out there. And then THT, when he came in for those first 9 minutes, he was absolutely on fire, and we don't see him for, like, a quarter and a half. It felt like, I don't really know exactly the minutes, but it was a very long break in between. So, and then you look at the other side. Chris Paul didn't score a field goal until the fourth quarter, and then Devin Booker got tossed in the third quarter. So, you know, it was the other guys, like Saric, you said. I mean, it was a very balanced attack from the Suns, because it wasn't one guy that stood out over anybody else. And it almost felt like the Suns were just kind of waiting for the Lakers to land a big blow, and they just never did. They took the lead in the second quarter when they had Damian Jones and THT bring that huge spark, and Dudley too. They took the lead, but I think their largest lead today was 2 points, and then the Suns took it back before half, and the Lakers just couldn't even, I wouldn't say close, but it never felt like they were ever really going to take the lead. There was no run. There was no anything. It was such a weird game, man. I'm struggling trying to come up with the words to describe this game.
It didn't feel like they had like that juice like that they had last game, where they really got out and ran a lot. They played with a lot of energy. So I felt like they kind of came out a little deflated, maybe because all the injury news and knowing they were going to be so shorthanded and all that stuff. And I also want to credit Phoenix. Phoenix is probably the hottest team in the NBA. I think they've won like 11 out of their last 13 games. I think they're now second in the West also.
They just tied the Lakers today.
That is insane. Like, big credit to them. Like they've been on a roll. And like you said, without Booker, Chris Paul didn't score much. And I know the Lakers were shorthanded, but sometimes you have to give credit to like the opposition. I thought Phoenix played very well. But yeah, it was just unfortunate that the Lakers didn't really come out with that type of energy. And God, they're, I don't know if you want to get into this, but their 3-point shooting of like the past month and a half has been horrible.
Well, who's the three in, this is like an easy question, but who are the 3-point shooters on this team? Like who, when you think of, we need to hit a three, who do you want the ball to be shot by?
Like overall, like, cause it used to be KCP, but he's been on a cold stretch.
That's kind
honestly,
of point
probably
right now.
LeBron or Kuzma. I don't know.
Yeah. That's my point right now. It's since this is just KCP's last four games from 3-point, 0-for-4, 1-for-3, 1-for-3, 0-for-5. Wesley Matthews, who was coming in, and I believe on this podcast was said that he'll make his threes. Well, Wesley Matthews on a bad freaking stretch right now. Since February 12th, it's been like 3 points, 0 points, 3 points, 2 points. He did have 10 against Miami, then 0, 3, 0, 0, and then another 0 today. But he's playing minutes. And those are two guys that I kind of zero in on, like, you kind of expect these guys to make the threes. I'm not counting on Markieff Morris hitting this many threes as he did. I mean, he was 2 of 3 tonight. I'm not really counting on Keith to be like one of the main 3-point shooting. So that's a huge deal. Like, you're absolutely correct, man. Obviously AD makes threes. He's not playing. Kuzma's supposed to. He didn't play. Caruso's supposed to. He got hurt. But man, like those two guys I'm zeroing in on tonight, Wesley Matthews and KCP, have been brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And it's not even so much that they're missing it. Like I thought there was a few catches there where they passed up shots and they dribbled and ended up being a turnover, or they kind of pump faked into a harder shot. It's just kind of like their confidence. I do am concerned about, because we know KCP has had that issues before when he struggled. His confidence kind of gets in his head a bit. And he came out so hot to start the year. Like, he was incredible to start the year, and hopefully he can get back in it. And with Wes, I always just think, like, his minutes are always so inconsistent. Like, I'm not sure how easy it is to get a rhythm. But, yeah, like, he was out there for 22 minutes, shot 1-3, he missed it. I thought his defense wasn't that great tonight either. He got stuck in mismatches with Saric, and he's too small to guard him. They were in a tough spot tonight. Like, Phoenix,
I think it was also a little disappointing too that they come off these two big wins against the Blazers and against the Warriors, where they actually looked really good. It looked like they kind of like, okay, Schroeder's back, and you know they don't have AD, but you know they seem to turn a corner. They can finish off strong. If they can beat the Suns, they're definitely expected to beat the Kings tomorrow night in Sacramento, and then, you know, like, that's the end of the first half of the season. It's kind of the way that I was expecting it to go. But then the Kuzma news kind of, I actually texted a friend, and as soon as I saw the Kuzma news, L. I just had this feeling. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like Kuzma being out as well is going to be a big deal. I was very curious to see the team without Marc Gasol because of you saying, like, yeah, I was expecting Trez to play a little more. But, you know, there's got to be something else there, Alex, when Wes Matthews plays more minutes than Trez and Wes is, like, literally not even remotely going to give you anything on offense right now. Is it the defense? Is it that Vogel trusts that defense from Wes Lore? Like, I don't know. Like, why did Trez play 19 minutes on a night where you have no big men?
I think that was my point when I brought up earlier. It wasn't so much the rotations. It was like the timing of it. Like, I understand if you don't want to play Trez against Aiden, because that's traditionally a type of center he struggles with, right? He's a big, physical, tall, big, and that's something that Harrell just struggles with. So I get that, like, if you want to sub him out for those minutes. But then why play Dudley in those reserve minutes where you could have had Harrell go up against Sarge instead? I think he would have been a much better matchup against Sarge. And in those minutes, like, start the fourth quarter. Like, I'm surprised he didn't go with Harrell. And if need be and Aiden comes in and Harrell's a bad mismatch, then, yeah, make a change. But that I am kind of surprised he only played 18 minutes. I don't think he was horrible tonight in those minutes he was in. Like, he was a bit of a mismatch, but we knew that he got in. Yeah.
I don't even think he got, like, a shot off, like, a field goal attempt until the second quarter, and he started tonight. So offensively, he wasn't very aggressive either. Maybe Vogel wasn't too happy with that. I mean, he only took 4 shots today. I know it was 19 minutes, but, you know, when you don't have Gasol and you're starting, you expect Trez to have more than 4 shots. And, you know, you can, I know it's only one game, but it's just such a weird big game because it has so many questions. And I think that's why we may be coming off like we're acting like it's a bigger deal than actually just one game. But really, there's so many holes right now. They're not huge holes, but there's so many holes in the Lakers' performances lately that you can really start picking things apart on a bigger scale. Obviously, if you've listened to this podcast, Taco Tuesday on Tuesday, you know that I'm not the biggest fan of Marc Gasol so far this year. You know, we've talked about the options of bringing in another big man. I think it's an absolute necessity. You know, they brought in Damian Jones, who, what do you really expect from a guy in a 10-day contract? He's shown great flashes in the minimal amount of minutes that he's played so far. But, I mean, I'm not expecting him to come in and be like the next, you know, Dwight Howard was last year. The three-point shooting has been bad. The giving up three-point shots has been bad. That perimeter defense has been bad. There's just holes on our larger scale that are starting to creep up as real problems on the Lakers.
But, like, they are without AD, though. I'm glad you bring that up.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I'm glad you bring that up because I'm not an alarmist, and I'm not going to, like, say, well, AD's way more hurt than he is. But let's just really assume here. Let's be realistic. Isn't this the same leg that he hurt last year in the finals?
The
calf?
Maybe,
this
yeah.
is, like, a lingering thing that when you – I don't know, man. Like, when we're talking about Achilles, I don't ever think that this is not going to just go away. This might be something that AD is dealing with for the rest of the season until he really, really can take care of this in the offseason or something even worse happens. So when you say, yeah, they don't have AD, yes, I know that. And I know that's obviously the biggest hole, but are we really, really, really expecting AD to be 100% the rest of the way when he comes back?
I mean, only time can tell. Like, I mean, from every report we've gotten so far, they expect him to be fine. Obviously, that's easier said than done. We have to see it because he didn't look that great even before he stopped playing and was out. But, you know, hopefully this All-Star break just gives them some time for everyone to get back. And, like, there's so many guys banged up. Like, KCP, he got hurt a lot tonight. He was constantly on the floor. Caruso, like you said, was hurt. But, it's tough because, like, I don't want to get too analytical here, but, like, the three-point shooting is just going to get better just because they're shooting so poorly. It only can get better from here. It happens, like, they have this hot stretch, and they get cold, and then they get hot again. It's just what happens in the NBA. They're so shorthanded, it's tough to beat a team as good as Phoenix when you're this shorthanded. You don't have three of your key front court guys. There are some, like, the Wes Matthews thing I think is real. Like, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get someone in the buyout market. Maybe a Trevor Ariza. But, like, who knows how, like, how much he can contribute at his age. But I wouldn't be surprised come buyout market. They'll be active. You know, we've talked about guys like Blake Griffin before. I think he would actually be a pretty good signing, given his skill set in terms of his passing, his potential shooting, his playmaking. Maybe a guy like Drummond, like we've talked about. I think you would like Drummond if he became available. But I'm not too, I know you're not like freaking out or anything, but I'm not too concerned about it.
No, I'm definitely, I was listening to ESPN LA the other day, and they had this like segment about panic meter. And I know one of the hosts on the afternoon show, and I text him. I was like, "You dude, yeah, throw that panic meter away. Like, it's just there's so much game left. There's so much game left, and there's so many reasons why the Lakers are losing the games that they are. Obviously, no AD, no Schroeder. Like, you can today, no Gasol, no AD, no Kuz. Like, there's you can easily point at things, but what I was really trying to tell him was like, there, dude, the schedule just came out for the second half. You know how many games there's left? How many games are left? Like, who knows what the hell's going to happen? The panic meter in March, and when they did that segment, it was in February. It's like, no, I'm not panicking at all. I'm just a little concerned about the issues that I've already raised that you've also talked about that I would like to see fixed, because I think that the players that need to fix them are playing right now. That's why I think it's a problem. Like, I understand that there's no Anthony Davis and that there's really not much you can do when you're missing one of the top 10 guys in the NBA. It's a huge blow to the team. I get it. But KCP's playing right now. Wes Matthews is playing right now. Marc Gasol up until today was playing. You know, there's guys that are on this team that I think can improve and need to do better that they're just not at the moment. And I would say tonight, you know, if KCP hits a couple of those threes, if, you know, this is a different game. They only lost by 10. So it's just a little weird. Like, I don't want KCP to revert to 2018 KCP. I like the new one. We like the new one. Everyone likes the new one.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
How much of it do you, and how much of it, like, sometimes I like to think of, like, the contextual, like, what's going on outside and what's going on maybe inside their heads, but, like, how much of it do you think is they're looking forward to the All-Star break? Like, looking ahead and kind of just, like, these games ahead, like, today and against the Kings tomorrow, the fact that they have a back-to-back also, they had probably had that in their back of their minds, and maybe it's why a guy like Dudley played more minutes. I just thought of that, but, like, how much of it do you think, like, a lot of championship caliber teams, we always see this where it's like the All-Star break is coming up and they kind of let their foot off the gas and they kind of look forward to, like, getting some rest and they don't play their best. A guy like Dennis Schroeder had the health and safety protocols. He comes back. A guy like Gasol, now he's out. Oh, now Kuzma's out. AD's been out. Like, that's a lot. And you're playing against really good teams. Like, Phoenix is, again, tied for second in the West. This isn't like some bad team. And this isn't make excuses, but I think there are reasons outside of just the court, like, that could be impacting them.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I think that it's just natural for guys to look ahead. I also think that, dude, the Lakers have been playing it feels like almost every other day, you know, like there's so much basketball they've played in
it's another back-to-back. Like, it feels like every time we're on one of these, they have a back-to-back coming up.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully they can close it out with the win in Sacramento. I'm really still not panicking at all. Like, you know, they're 24-12. They're tied for the second best record in the West. They might even be tied for, like, yeah, they literally have the third best record in the NBA. And they have legit, Alex, seriously, have they played that great this season?
No, I don't think they've played, they haven't played their best at all.
Like, and it's funny because I really hope our podcast doesn't turn into like a broken record where we're just like, slam them. Well, at least this is how I sound in my own head. I slam them. And you know what? It's not that bad. Hey, guys, they have the third best, second best record in the NBA, and they haven't even played that great. I'm super positive now. You know, it's like, I feel like that's the podcast because I feel like we've been coming on at least this show after losses a lot this year.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
So maybe that's why I feel this way, or how I might sound like, dude, this guy's always like shitting on the Lakers. This guy's always crapping on the Lakers, and they freaking are like pretty good. It's like third best record in the NBA. Above the Clippers, above, you know, they're doing great. So I may sound like a broken record if this is the podcast that you listen to, but it's just the way it is for us, Alex. Specifically our show. I got to look back. I gotta go back and look at the schedule. I swear we've only come on after like two wins.
Yeah, and then I think for some, there were some overtimes in there also. And
lots of overtimes, I feel like, for us this year.
Yeah, like I'm personally, just as a fan of this team, like I'm looking forward to the All-Star break. Like, take a little bit of a break also, because it is exhausting. Like,
I'm going to do a little exercise for us. How about this?
Okay.
I have the schedule in front of me with the actual dates. So Tuesday, the 22nd against the Clippers, loss.
Yeah.
Monday against the Blazers, loss. 0-2. Tuesday against the Grizzlies, a win. Tuesday against the Rockets, a win. But here we go again. Monday against the Warriors, a loss. Monday, I'm not sure if we did the Cleveland game. I don't remember talking about Cleveland, but they won that game. And then Monday, maybe I'm wrong. Monday, the Hawks, they won that game. Monday against the Thunder, they won a double overtime game. Tuesday against the Minnesota Timberwolves, they won that game. Last week, they lost to the Wizards. And then today, they lost to the Suns. So we're like 500. How about that?
Okay.
But I feel like we didn't do one or two of those wins because one of them was like during Christmas break. And the other one, I was on vacation. So yeah, that's why it feels like that. Overall, Alex, yes, the Lakers have the third best record in the league, and I don't even think they've remotely played as good as they can be. I have zero panic meter. I stand behind Frank Vogel. I've seen that stuff already. That is ridiculous on so many levels. And yes, they're not healthy, and I hope they were healthy, and I am zeroing in and pointing the finger at KCP, at Wesley Matthews a lot more, and I am still not convinced by Marc Gasol. So those three things.
You don't think they missed him tonight? Like, I know it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but do you think they missed him tonight? Is what I'm saying.
No.
Really?
Mm-mm. They gave us 16 threes.
If nothing else, at least puts guys in better positions. Like, we wouldn't have had Dudley tonight. Wes Matthews probably wouldn't have played 20-something minutes.
I don't know, man. Wes Matthews has been playing a lot of minutes.
Well, also Kuzma was out.
Right. I think, oh, there you go. Yeah.
I think that's I do have a bigger appreciation for Kuzma after a night like this, though. And the energy he's been bringing all season. I think tonight was a good example of why they need him and the energy he brings on the offensive glass. His shooting, like, just having a guy who makes his shots at above average clip, like, I can see why they missed a guy like Kuz tonight.
Before the final 2 minutes of the game, the Lakers got doubled up on 3-point shots. You know, it was 8-16.
LeBron hit like two or three, like,
right
with like at a minute end. Left. That kind
so
of
makes
changed.
It look a little better, but they're still like plus 15. The Suns on 3 points, so I think Marc Gasol is not really that perimeter defender. That's like, I don't know. I know that you like Gasol a lot more than I do.
I do like Gasol, yeah.
I know you do, and I don't, and I miss McGee and Howard. I'll say it. I do.
Well,
I miss that.
I think
life was a lot easier with those two guys.
I think the team misses their skill set. I'm not saying that they miss them individually. Like, I think they do miss a guy like Dwight. I think they're happy with Gasol. I just think they also, on top of Gasol, they want one of those guys as well to, like, be, like, his tag team partner, you know? I think that's why they gave a shot to Damian Jones, who's, like you said, he's a 10-day guy. He's shown some good promise, and he's shown kind of glimpses of what, like, McGee specifically, maybe not as much as Dwight, but a guy like McGee in terms of his, like, vertical game. He can get up there for lobs. He can block shots. I think we're seeing a little bit of a tryout for the type of player they want. I'm not sure if, again, if it's a guy like Drummond. I don't know if he becomes available. I don't know if the Lakers would be interested, but it sounds like they kind of want that type of player to go along with Gasol and Harrell.
I thought Stu Lance said it great in the middle of the second quarter when he came in. He's like, just alter shots. That's all they want you to do. Alter shots and get rebounds. And that's really all I'm expecting from Damian Jones. If you catch a lob here and there, if you get a putback, awesome. Just alter shots. Be a body up in the middle. You know, bring the energy. Because that's, I think, why I'm a little down on Mark, because I don't feel that energy. And I think you see it analytically. You see a skill set. You see the game a lot different than I do. I could tell by the way that you tweet the game and you talk about the game. You look at it and you have this knowledge of the game. And I look at it from a very, like, fan perspective.
I think both are important, though. Like, they're equally important.
And I think that's why we see Gasol so differently. Because you can see, like, the value he brings in, like, the intricate details that he does, where I see, like, very low energy, slow, can score, can pass. I just don't see it on defense either, because he is that slow. I know he's a big body, but, and I'm not saying, like, he's bad. I'm just, like, I just liked the duo of McGee Howard better than what I've seen from Gasol as one, which is unfair to Gasol because he's just one.
Those are totally fair things. Like, Gasol hasn't been perfect this year. I've had issues with Gasol, his effort level, his usage, his the way he's used out there, the way he sometimes doesn't impact the game, and all that stuff. All that's totally fair. And, like, it's just funny, like, given all of that and everything that's happened to the Lakers this year, they're still the best defense in the league. and they were one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best defense in the league last year, too. Like, so it's kind of cool and kind of, like, funny how they're able to do it in almost a totally different way this year than they did last year. And that goes back to Vogel. Again, like, I know people might be upset with him, and I was kind of complaining about his rotations earlier in the episode, but I think the level of buy-in and the scheme and just putting guys in position to be good defenders and all that stuff has been great. And that's why I think it's really interesting, again, I bring up the buyout market, to see what kind of players they target. Do they think the front court is fine as it is? Like, are they just totally cool with Gasol and Harrell? And they'll ride with that, and they focus on maybe kind of filling Wes Matthews' spot or getting another wing or another guard? Or do they say, like, hey, yeah, we need a better center, and they go after Drummond or Griffin or someone else. So that's why I'm kind of interested to see, like, what rumors and what we hear in the next week or two, and see what the front office and the coaching staff think is the biggest hole. Because we've talked about shooting and the front court and all that, but I wonder what, like, internally, what they think is the biggest issue.
Yeah, I guess they have a roster spot open right now, right?
I think they can have up to two.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm sure Pelinka, they're going to address something. Like, they already did. They got Damian Jones. And they're just, like you said, I think it's a tryout for, like, all right, let's see what this guy can do. But I saw Harrison tweet earlier from the @LakersSBN account, like, let's not get too carried away with Damian Jones. Like, he did just get beat out by Frank Kaminsky for a spot. So that's, like, also true.
I mean, how, before we go, what are your thoughts on Damian in this few minutes we've seen so far? In this last
I loved
games?
It. Like, I don't think there's anything to complain about at all. I think when you come off the bench, bringing energy and doing, if you do one thing really well, like, it shows. Like, why do you think Kuzma's, like, getting so much attention for rebounding? Because he's come in and brought energy, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, this dude's really good at rebounding. You know, and it kind of can cover up other things. So if you can find your spot and do what you do best, Dudley brings this crazy energy, right? And it's awesome because he's down to defend the big guy when he's, like, 6'6". And he does a pretty damn good job when he does it. And it stands out. I know there's jokes about Dudley and stuff like that, but I really do think, like, when he comes in, he excels at his role. if Damian Jones can find a spot for the next 8 days or whatever, how many days he has left, then do what you're good at. And I think so far he's excelled in the very tiny amount of minutes that he's had.
Yeah, like I've been impressed. Like I didn't know too much about him coming into it. I know he's like still like only 25. He's so young still. But yeah, he's done everything they like. He said the front office asked him to do, which is, like you said, be that vertical threat in terms of lobs and defending the rim and all that stuff. So I have no complaints. I am curious if I'm pretty sure they're gonna give him another 10-day after this 10 days up, just to, you know, they need the bodies.
Yeah, they do.
So he'll be here for at least another 10-day probably, but.
And we don't know what's going on with Gasol.
Yeah.
Like, you never know. Like, if he does have COVID, you never know. I don't know if he does or not. I haven't read anything about it.
Yeah.
But he's out for, if let's just say he's like Schroeder, then he's out for a week.
Yeah, I'm assuming he doesn't play tomorrow.
So he's not playing tomorrow.
Most likely not, no.
Yeah. They should definitely beat the Kings tomorrow.
You would hope.
Like, I don't care how shorthanded you are, you should beat the Kings tomorrow.
Yeah, you would hope so. The Kings are a mess right now too. So
13-21.
Yeah, you would hope so.
Yeah. Also, real quick, as I know we've already gone 30 minutes here, but not a flagrant on KCP. And what the hell did Devin Booker get ejected for?
That whole what quarter was that? Was that the second?
That was the third.
Okay, no. That happened in the second.
And the then flagrant Booker happened in the second, and Booker got tossed in the third.
Yeah, whatever those minutes were, that was weird. It was like an hour-long basketball game because of all the free throws and like reviewing foul calls.
Oh,
and
gosh, these refs suck tonight.
Yeah, that like Booker like on camera like grabbed KCP's ankle and like took him down. And
yeah,
yeah, that was a common foul, but the KCP foul on him was flagrant. But okay, but yeah. Then on the other end, Booker gets ejected, gets two technicals. Off of, obviously we couldn't hear what he said, but it had to be something really bad. But even, you can't do that. Like, it's
Caruso just gets smashed by Saric in the head and he has neck spasms, common foul. KCP goes up and just goes for a swat and hits the wrist and it's a flagrant one. It just made no sense tonight at all.
I think both ways. I think for both sides, it just,
yeah,
it just slowed the game down so much because I was looking forward to tonight's game. I thought, again, these are two of the top West teams, and all the injuries happened, and then all the ref stoppages and all that. It just slowed down all the enthusiasm I had for it.
Yeah, and Booker getting kicked out because he looked like he was getting on a roll there in the second quarter, and you know maybe that's why the only Lakers only lost by 10 because Booker was out. But what, regardless, Lakers lose 114-104. We haven't even mentioned this name yet, LeBron James. I don't know how we go a whole podcast without mentioning LeBron James, but I think he scored 38 points tonight. Yep, 38 points, 16 of 24. He led the way, obviously, for the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder with 17. And Talen Horton-Tucker with 16, 12 of them coming in the second quarter. Just a weird old game, just like we said. But one more game before the All-Star break. We'll see when we come back. They play the Kings tomorrow. Alex, they're going to win.
Yeah, I think they're going to win. And then any predictions on, I don't even know, All-Star game? I don't even know.
Well, here's what I hope happens. I hope, because I think LeBron is going to go, but I hope he plays like 5 minutes in the game. Like, yeah, I need LeBron playing 25 minutes in the All-Star
game. God, please no. Please.
But I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I'd rather him not get the MVP. Let one of the young guys get it. Just please rest. Please come back safe and healthy. That's all my only wish for the All-Star weekend. Is everyone
please
come back safe.
And LeBron's our only All-Star, right?
Yeah, because AD was, but then he had to drop out because of the injury.
Right, and Booker took his place. So that's it. That's our predictions. This is Taco Tuesday. We appreciate you guys listening to our shows on post games, even though we lose all the time. We're sorry about that. Follow the show at LakersSBN, SilverScreenAndRoll.com, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are there. Hit subscribe, hit review, and give us a like. All that jazz. At Alex M. Regla, subscribe to his newsletter, The Throwdowns, right?
Yeah, it's still up there. Haven't run anything since the Kuzma thing, but hopefully soon. But hopefully next time we talk, will they be back by then? playing or not yet?
I don't know. I don't know what Harrison has in store for us for the All-Star break. They play the 12th.
12th. Oh, okay. Yep. So hopefully by the time we talk, AD's back. Because I think that's around the timetable they gave him, about 4 weeks.
That would be nice. They would play, so they play tomorrow the 3rd. They don't play again until the 12th, which is a Friday, versus Indiana in Los Angeles.
Okay. So.
So if we do talk, I don't know what Harrison will do if we have to wait for another game, because it's a back-to-back Monday and Tuesday. And normally we do one or the other. So we'll see what happens. We'll see when we come back. But I don't care when we come back. I just hope AD is back when we're back. That'd be great.
Imagine like this team just flips a switch after All-Star break. AD's back, Saul's back, Shooter's back. Everyone's healthy and rested, and they just demolish the rest of the way. That'd be nice.
If the Lakers have a switch to flip and they already have the 3rd best record in the NBA, good luck, everybody.
And then they add like Blake Griffin and Trevor Ariza to that group just for nothing.
Can they do that, both of them?
Yeah, I think they could.
That would be awesome. Now you're giving me hope, and that's a great way to leave this podcast. Alex, shout out to you, at Alex M. Regla. I'm at Alex Padilla 86. Talk to you next time, Alex.
Thanks, man.